Good morning, good morning. I'm listening here. This is Sister Carol in for Higher Ground this morning. Had a little bit of technical difficulty, so I hope you've enjoyed the music that played for the first half an hour. But I am here in the studio and would love to talk to whomever's calling. But I'd like to talk to you live. So if you want to give me a call back, you can certainly call me at 359-5483. That's 359-5483 for the next few minutes, and then I'll have a guest calling in to talk to us about the Laquan McDonald video revelation and murder in Chicago. And actually, murderous policy is what we'll be talking about this morning on Higher Ground. Again, this is Sister Carol in studio for Brother A-Dub, who will be here with us a little bit later this morning. And I certainly welcome your call, 217-359-5483. We have a few things that we'll update. We are here this morning. This is Sister Carol in the studio. Had a little bit of difficulty this morning, so I hope you've enjoyed the music that has played in my absence as I tried to work out the technical difficulty this morning. But I am here. This is Higher Ground. And I hope to bring an enlightening conversation this morning. Brother A-Dub will be here later joining us. But I have one of my colleagues who will call in from the Illinois General Assembly this morning out in California. Representative LaShawn Ford will be on. He represents the city of Chicago district, and he's in California this morning with the National Council of Black Legislative Officials. And he will talk about some of the things that are going on, trying to pass stronger legislation calling for real reform in our community. So we'll talk about that with Brother LaShawn Ford this morning. And historically, we normally play Higher Ground by Stevie Wonder, and for some reason, it is not working for me, but I'm going to try because I really want to set the tone appropriately with Stevie Wonder. So let's see if I can find a version that I actually like. And you know what? There is a version that was done by Usher, who was one of my favorite artists, so let's see if we can actually play it. Interesting enough, if you play anything from the internet, they give you 15 commercials first before they'll play your song. And so we got to work with the internet and its demands and see if we can play Higher Ground. But it's actually not playing, so it might force me to have to sing it this morning. But I can't sing like Stevie Wonder, so I'm not going to pretend. Gee whiz, how lucky am I not to have it play this morning. But at any rate, I am in the studio. This is Higher Ground, and you are listening to Sister Carol Ammons on the mic. And I am anxious to talk to you this morning. We have several things that's going on, but I did want to make a very unshameless plug that I will have my re-election kickoff on December 19th. At the Hawthorne Suites Hotel. It's a brunch. If you're interested in joining us for that, helping us get ready for our very important 2016 elections, please go to my website, Carol Ammons for State Rep. That's carolammonsforstaterep.com. And you can get information about our kickoff there, Carol Ammons for, the word for, F-O-R, staterep.com. And we would certainly love to have you join us for that brunch. And you are definitely welcome to be there. And certainly you can contact me. All of my information is at that website as well. You can get a hold of me or my staff. And we are certainly interested in helping with whatever issue you may have. Or maybe you don't have one and you just want to talk to me. That's a good way to get a hold of me. You can always go there. You can stop at my office, which is at 407 East University, between 4th and 5th Street on University is where my office is located. And we help people with a lot of things. So don't think that you're having whatever struggle you're having it alone. You're not. Feel free to give us a call at my office. It's 217-531-1660. 217-531-1660. And we would be very happy to attempt to assist you with whatever your concern may be. So this morning, I've invited on with me, who will call in a few minutes, Representative LaShawn Ford. And Representative Ford has been in the House certainly much longer than I, and I'll grab his bio for you, because I really want you to know that you have other advocates that are working on behalf of the community in the House. And although it may seem, if you listen to the news, I recommend that you put a filter on that. But if you listen to the news, you might be a little, sometimes you're discouraged by what you hear as, you know, the way that people are described in the news or in the media. So, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But nonetheless, we do have representatives like LaShawn Ford, who really work hard to bring what I say is a common sense kind of legislative approach to the job. And so he's been in the House since 2007, and he's carried, I believe, some really landmark legislation for the city of Chicago. I'll read his bio for you so that when he calls in, you'll know who we're talking to. He is a licensed real estate broker, an insurance agent. He has a BS from Loyola University and former Chicago public school teacher. He serves on the board of directors of the Austin Chamber of Commerce, advisory board of the Children's Museum in Austin, and he's a Peace Corner Youth Center member. He's a father who cares about what's happening in our communities, and he served on so many other things. As a matter of fact, he is on Appropriations for General Services and Appropriations for Human Services, which are two of the most critical areas that cover a lot of our community agencies here in town. We just had this past week Representative Greg Harris, who's the chair of Human Services Appropriations, and he came really just to offer his view on the budget process and how we're going to actually make some strides forward, which we had a little bit of a positive movement last week in the House. But he was here last week talking to our social service providers and attempting to encourage them to stay in the fight. That was his visit last week. And this morning I've invited Representative LaShawn Ford to come on and talk about really what's going on in the community in Chicago. There's been many shootings in Chicago. So this one, the most recent revelation, because he was actually, Laquan McDonald was killed in 2014 by a Chicago police officer. This is just a culmination of just a long fight in relationship to getting justice for those who are unfortunately killed by the state. Of course, the police work for the community and the state. And so this is just a longstanding problem that we really need to deal with in communities. So I've asked him to call in because the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus met about a week or so ago. And part of that discussion was to put out not only a resolution calling for the federal probe, my resolution that was drafted here with one of my colleagues here in the community, that resolution called for the investigation of not just the police department in Chicago, but it did call for the investigation of the state's attorney's office as well as the mayor's office. And that resolution was sent to the national conference where Representative Ford is currently, and to get national buy-in for all three investigations. So when you call me today, and if you're interested in this conversation as to how we move forward in a structured way to bring justice to this issue, as well as to end the repeating of these kind of incidents, you can call me on 359-6545. That's 217-359-6545. Feel free to call that number because Representative Ford will be on the other number, so you won't be able to get us on that. So the only line that will be open this morning, if you would like to speak to Representative Ford, is the 217-359-6545. That number is available for you to call in once he's on the line with us in about a minute or so. You can call us there and ask your question or, you know, make your comment on this issue. How do we stop the state-sanctioned murder of our youth in this country? Because it's not just Chicago. It's not just Illinois. This is happening all over the country. And I believe at this point that there has to be a national response to what is happening throughout this country. Has to be a national response, because just like in the days of lynching, this has reached a fever pitch, and we've surpassed the number of lynchings that have happened, which is should be alarming to people. That's alarming. And so we are truly calling for end to state-sanctioned violence. And we want you to join us in this conversation, in this quest to end this practice of state-sanctioned violence. So if you are listening this morning, you are on higher ground. This is Sister Carol. I am in for Brother A-Dub, who will be joining us later. And I expect a call from Representative LaShawn Ford in probably another few seconds. He's going to jump on the line and give us a call. And we want you to join the conversation. You're welcome to join this conversation this morning. What do you think about what has happened? Again, not just in Chicago, but all over the country. So hopefully this is Representative Ford. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Representative. How are you?
Oh, I'm well this morning. Good morning to you, Representative Ford. How are you?
Very good.
I have shared.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, I've shared with our listeners that you are out in sunny California, but you're not out there on the beach, right?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it.
You're out there for serious business, and we want to talk about that this morning. I did lay the groundwork that we are in this community asking ourselves, and I'm sure they are in Chicago, how do we put an end to this state-sanctioned violence and murder that's taking place so that we can get a hold of the community violence that's taking place? And so we want to really kind of hear from you, your perspective of what has happened, why you think it's happened, and then what do we need to do to move forward?
Well, you know, I got to first let your listeners know, because I'm a first timer on your show, that and all your constituents, let them know that they are in good hands. You hit the ground running and taking on great leadership in Springfield. So I'm very happy to be your colleague. And it's people like you that come to Springfield that help try to eradicate some of the problems. And I think that the number one solution to the problem is and always will be opportunity. So opportunity is key. So if people have opportunities like those communities that are not as violent, then I think that you will see the violence go down in the poor communities.
And tell our listeners a little bit about your district.
So my district is the west side of Chicago, and we have a large number of my constituent base on the west side. The Austin community is a large number of the DOC, Department of Correction, prisoners return to Austin. We have a very high level of ex-offenders. We have a very high level of unemployment, high school dropout. And it's a struggling community. Yet at the same time, we have a number of working class families, homeowners, that's caught in the middle of not being treated equal to other homeowners in the city of Chicago.
And so you all have, I know a little bit about Austin. I believe Austin is also a historic community. when Dr. King came to Chicago to work on the open housing campaign, he came to that area. Is that right?
He came to the West Side.
That's right.
To the West Side. Yep.
That's right. And that has been a community that has historically been suffering under really poor treatment for a long time. But it's not necessarily Austin. He came to Lawndale, which I think I got a little mixed up.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Lawndale.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So as a result of what we've seen in the last, we've seen the last few days, the outcry of the community in relationship to the video. When did you learn about the video of Laquan McDonald?
You know, I've learned about it just like everyone else. And as an elected official, I feel like I just don't understand how we were. First of all, how did we miss the fact that the young man was shot 16 times? Mm. So it was a cover-up from the beginning. I mean, the news never played up on it. The mayor's office never played up on it. I don't know how we would have known that the young man was shot 16 times. The only way we know is we rely on media. And the media didn't tell anyone. The mayor's office surely didn't tell anyone. He covered it up. And that's a fact. So I learned about it just like everyone else.
So do you recall, because obviously down here some people may, but I did not know, I don't recall, I can't have a memory that I can recall of learning of his shooting in the first place, right, in 2014.
I do recall the shooting and when he was shot by the police. But once again, when they reported that shooting, it was just a young man shot by the police. There was a little, I think that people were a little disappointed when they found out that he only had a knife at the time of the shooting. And but yet, no one knew that he was shot 16 times. So that would have made a big difference had the police department said, not only did we shoot this person, but we shot him 16 times. Now that would have sparked an investigation immediately. The fact that someone was shot 16 times, not just that, you know, he was shot, but he was shot 16 times.
And so in 14, when the initial incident took place, it was reported as, you know, young person on drugs with a knife, you know, was shot and killed by Chicago Police Department. Then it goes to the city council. Can you kind of give us, just from your perspective, I know you're not on the city council, but as we walk through these things, we're trying to understand, how do we prevent this kind of stuff from happening? Not just in Chicago, but what about in my community? How do we stop this kind of cover up? So it goes from a shooting of the young man is shot and killed. He had a little knife. To the city council at some point, how do we get there? How did it get to the city council?
Yeah, and I think that is a courageous statement, because you can learn from other people's mistakes, and what you hear people saying, that's a Chicago problem. Mm-hmm. But for you to say, how do we prevent this from happening again, not only in Chicago, but how can we learn in my town so it doesn't happen here? So that's good. I think that transparency is paramount.
And yeah, it is.
We have to make sure that we have transparency, and we got to have some independent authorities over these police stations.
So we go from his shooting, his killing. Apparently, there's some behind the scenes conversations. It gets to the city council because there's. Was there a lawsuit that prompted the settlement? How do we even get a lawsuit? I mean, how did the settlement happen?
So that was that's what people and I find pretty strange about all of this. For the mayor, I could see that the city council members went along with the mayor and the mayor's attorneys and said that this is in our best interest. That you guys need to pay the
his family because it could cost us a lot of money. You can imagine what the mayor and his attorneys were preaching to the city council. But I could believe that city council probably didn't have the full story and that they were probably bamboozled pretty much like Bush bamboozled Colin Powell when he talked about the weapons of mass destruction.
Mm.
So this is the same, and they had no idea. But the mayor knew. The mayor knew because what mayor, and definitely not the mayor Rahm Emanuel, is going to pay out to a black family $5 million without knowing the whole story?
Hmm.
So he knew the whole story. He knew the truth. And yet he decided during the election season that he was not going to tell the whole story and maybe keep it covered up. And I think that when you think about Anita Everett being the prosecutor, I believe that Rahm suppressed her. He had to.
Okay. You know? The other way around.
No, Rahm is the powerhouse in Chicago.
Okay,
But she's responsible for her own office. And if she allowed cover-up, then she's got a problem.
So let me just jump in right quick here. Just so our listeners will know that you are listening to Higher Ground. This is Sister Carol on the mic this morning. Brother A-Dub is going to be joining us here shortly. On the phone with me is Representative LaShawn Ford from Chicago's Austin community. We're talking about the Laquan McDonald murder in the city of Chicago. But greater than that is the transparency issues to stop this from happening in other communities. I want you to know that the views and opinions here expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent WEFT, its board of directors, the station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated. These are the views and opinions of myself, Sister Carol, and Representative LaShawn Ford. We don't represent all of the General Assembly, so don't say that we all thought the same way or we said the same thing. This is truly our own opinion of what we see happening in our community, but we also have a greater responsibility to stop this from happening in others. And so if you want to join us on this call, a conversation this morning, or ask a question to Representative Ford, feel free to join us at 217-359-6545. That's 217-359-6545. I want to go back for a second, Representative, to Ms. Alvarez. And as the media has told us, right, that Ms. Alvarez was investigating the murder, which is why they held the video so long.
That's right.
That's what they said.
Yep.
Why do you think it took so long to investigate this when it was already over a year that has passed? What is it that you all have heard or gotten out of you know, just the community conversations? What was taking her so long to investigate this?
You know, what the community believed is that this was never going to be uncovered.
Mm.
And because there was a demand for the release of the tape, you know, the scandal erupted.
Mm-hmm.
So had the freedom of information, and that's what people have to remember, that they have the power as people in this state and the country to get information and to be a participant for justice. And so that's exactly what happened. It was an ordinary person that said, I want that tape released. And that tape was released because of a ordinary citizen taking part in fighting for justice. And so had that ordinary person not engaged in the process, I think that Laquan's situation wouldn't be where it's at today, helping heal. I'm telling you, I really believe that Laquan's death is going to make Chicago and the world a better place as a result of his dying for you know, on the streets at the hands of the cops. I really think the change is coming as a result of this one.
So we saw the picture, right? We are watching from outside, not in the city of Chicago. We see the media coverage, and everything erupts from the release of the video. Of course, young people galvanized. They've been galvanized for a while because, again, these murders have happened too frequently in our cities across this country. And so we see the picture. They rush to a settlement with the family. The family probably, unfortunately, I believe, was taken advantage of in this process. And so the family now has what's considered their payoff, their hush money. But the person who utilizes the FOIA law, and I just want to pause for a second, Representative Ford, because I know you know this. The FOIA law is a critical part of transparency. And what that individual did by requesting this videotape was as a result of the FOIA laws. But I believe in the time, I don't know if you recall this, but my first caucus meeting that I joined you all at, there was a discussion about the FOIA law. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a request to make a change to the FOIA law to stop what they considered frivolous FOIAs. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And I objected to that change because what I saw that came out of this incident with Ms. Alvarez holding this tape, so-called as part of an investigation, is that they were able to hide behind the FOIA law. Can you talk about your experience with the FOIA law a little bit for a second?
Yeah, I mean, it's just simple as, I mean, so people want to say that people can really pinpoint everything that a politician does. They could request the money we spend, how we spend it, and there's really no real way to cover up wrongdoing. And that's why, you know, it's amazing that so many people and higher up, I mean, let's just say like Rahm Emanuel has been able to get away with the things that he's done over the years, not just as the mayor of the city of Chicago, but as the congressman, but as the chief of staff for the few presidents. I mean, the FOIA law, we could go and dig in and start some investigations of the people. You know,
it's a
powerful tool that you don't have to be elected to use.
And I think as a result of this entire process, as you said, it's going to make Chicago and the world a better place, because as legislators, we're now looking at the FOIA law and saying, hey, wait a minute, how can we shorten this so that you in situations like this, you can't hide behind
the time frame. Was it the time frame with the that they wanted to limit the time frame when you objected?
Yeah, they wanted to make it basically to the discretion of that particular agency whether this would hinder some kind of either investigation or so this is my fear a year ago.
I think this was your first speaking in the caucus too.
It was the FOIA law.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
What's amazing is you did not buy that freshmen come in and don't say anything. I'm sure when you got there, you went to your freshman orientation, they told you you shouldn't speak.
They did. They did.
Well, you just don't listen because you came in. And I think that the powers to be wanted that FOIA modification.
Oh, yes.
And you spoke against it.
Yes. They did want it, and they described it in a way that was going to be harmless. You know, this is harmless. Mm-hmm. It's not really giving more power to the police. And this is exactly what the attorney said. This is not going to, you know, it's going to actually help us make it more transparent. And this same exact law was used to hold this video for 13 months. That same law. So we have a responsibility as legislators to say, okay, yeah, we tried it out, but you know, I think I voted against that.
Right.
But that didn't work, right? And we have to tighten this up, because our number one responsibility is to our citizens, not to protecting government agencies, but transparency becomes a part of this number one issue. So that comes back to me very clearly.
I'm glad you used that, because I struggle with, in America, you know, you said our citizens. Do we have a responsibility to immigrants? Because they're not citizens.
Mm-hmm,
what's
mm-hmm.
our responsibility? Because sometimes I cringe when I get ready and say our citizens, because, I mean, what about the immigrants?
Well, I think we have a responsibility to everybody that's within our communities, and to make it a way for them to be part of what's considered citizens. Interestingly, I don't want to jump off the boat, but I was on my way here listening to American Latino Radio. That's a whole nother show. But just in that conversation, we understand that, you know, Mexico was taking Americans out at one point, trying to put them back on the other side of the border. And now we're doing the reverse. So we do need to redefine what citizen means. But when I say citizen, I'm talking about every single person that was within my purview, an everyday person in my community, regardless to what their status is.
No, I wasn't telling you. It's just one of those struggles that I have, because I know I have.
Hold on, Brother Ford. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Okay, this is Jim from Urbana. I heard this morning that Governor Rauner is going to hold it up till March. He's not going to make a move. And then if he doesn't get his way, he's going to shut down the Chicago school system. What a brilliant governor we have. And by the way, on Colin Powell knew that there was no weapons of mass destruction. He was opposed to the war. The right thing for him to have done would be to resign rather than authorize it. Okay, thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Well, Jim, can I ask Jim a question?
Jim?
The only reason why I made that comment, because when you think about it, Colin Powell spoke of weapons of mass destruction. Afterwards, he even went back and said he was misled. He went against his leader, the president, and said that he was misled. He was given false information. So Colin went from saying, yes, there are weapons of mass destruction. And do you recall when he recanted and said he was misled, there were no weapons of mass destruction, and that he was given bad information?
Okay. I accept your view of it, but I'm holding with mine. Anyway, what are we going to do with this governor we have? Thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate you, Jim. Thank you so much for listening. That is the $100 million question. What are we going to do with this governor? Go ahead, Representative Ford.
First of all, I think that it's going to take. It's only 118 members in the House and 59 senators. And so we know that it's going to take the people that elected that governor to wake up and help him govern. I mean, he's got 3 more years, I guess, and the pressure has to be on all of us to help him govern the right way and do what he should be doing for the people. I mean, I'm not going to be like the Republicans that say, my number one goal is to make President Obama a one-termer. No, my goal is to hope and continue to work with you, Representative, and all the Republicans and Democrats to help Rauner be successful.
And sometimes,
and that's what we've been trying to do.
Mm-hmm, sometimes helping him be successful is to put pressure on him. In a way that it certainly is uncomfortable for him and some of his colleagues, but it does require not only those who elected him, but those who unfortunately may not have voted for him to come together and say, what is in the best interest of the entire state? We are all suffering under this very one-sided kind of leadership that's coming out of his administration. And that is the responsibility of not only us as legislators, because we can only do what the legislative and the constitutional authority gives us to do. But that has to be the pressure of the people to call him to the carpet and make him do this. Now, I think Representative Ford just made a very good point. You know, when people ask me questions, they may think I'm speaking from a I'm a Democrat view, but I'm not. I'm actually speaking from, I'm a citizen of Illinois all of my entire life, and I'm watching other people in our state suffer under poor policies, and I have to speak out against that, and I have to also work legislative against that.
That's right, and remember, Rahner is only one person that happens to be the governor of this state, and he needs help. Anybody thinks that Rahner could run this state and understand how to run this state without working with Democrats, without working with Republicans, and without giving people say in how to make the government work for the entire state. That's why you have representatives from each community to help make sure that everybody's represented. And so you remember this saying where the A. Philip Randolph, what FDR told him, I can help you, but you have to make me do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which means that A. Philip Randolph knew the political ramifications of getting things done in the United States. And of course he wanted to help African Americans. Of course he wanted to make America a better place. But he knew that he had a challenge in front of him if he tried to get up in front and try to say that we're going to suppress or we're going to push back on the civil rights movement, that we're going to push back on on the voters' rights things. He knew that he would. So what he wanted was for people to say, to rise up and force his hand.
That's what he wanted.
And that's what Illinois has to do.
And I think that's what the mayor in Chicago is allowing people to see and to do. They are starting to say, wait a minute, now there's a problem here that is consistent, and I see it connected to your leadership, so we have to respond. So young people in this case, and the community, the world, sees this horrendous video of the killing of this young man. The official narrative has been debunked as a lie. And now here we are talking about city council authorizing a payout, hiding the truth, which is a very dangerous thing to do, and really showing the world this reprehensible murder on video. How can we go past that? What's our next step?
I think that what we've seen in Chicago, A, is not the mayor allowing it. I think people have taken it into their own hands and said that enough is enough. And we see a rainbow push of people, and that's what it's going to take. If, you know, you are in rural Illinois, and I think that, oh, by the way, I hope your son enjoys his horse.
Trust me.
You're in rural Illinois, and it's amazing how that there is poverty in rural Illinois, even more so than on, and not speaking about your community because I don't know your community, but I know in Cairo and places down, it's so poverty stricken. And the race of people there are a lot of poor white people.
Sure they are.
And so when will we as a human race come together and say, this is not about race, this is about economics, and I don't think I'm better than white, I don't think I'm better than black. We need to come together and we need to take on the top tier of the money getters. I think we're beyond the 1%. I think they narrowed that even more. So, you know, we're all fighting for this small amount of opportunities, economic opportunities, and we got to come together to tackle the money people. And we could do it.
Well, there's obviously next step that's here that is happening in Chicago. So now there's been several calls. Can you give us an idea of what the calls look like for justice for Laquan McDonald? And I can just list all the other brothers and sisters, but
well,
I won't.
I know that Operation Push is pushing for a constant push for everyone to be investigated, federal investigation. And you've heard the AG, Lisa Madigan, called for. You heard many of the presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders, he called for an investigation. And the call is for anyone that had knowledge of this cover-up, that they resign and that they step down. And that so what people are going to do, they're going to continue to march. They're going to continue to protest, and they're going to do sit-ins, and we're going to make laws, and we're going to and there's going to be a new day as a result of Laquan's death. You know, they're going to probably be marching on State Street soon, and it may be today, but they're going to shut down State Street very soon, the way they shut down Michigan Avenue, to send a message to the mayor and to the city that enough is enough. And so I think that
and I think there's
the movement.
There's also an economic boycott that's happening as a result of this. Again, it wasn't because of just the recent revelation of Laquan McDonald's murder, but a nationwide response to the ongoing murder and lack of justice across this country, including the Tamir Rice murder that's in Ohio, that we saw that. The economic boycott is saying, similar to the Montgomery bus boycott, but on a larger scale, that, you know, if we as the African-American community cannot get justice in our communities, then we will not spend our dollars with these companies that are basically funding in so many ways, funding our own oppression. Have you heard anything about the economic boycott that's taking place there?
I have. And the problem is it's a real, real struggle for African-Americans to boycott. And the powers to be understand that we're not structured enough in the African-American community. And we have to find a specific, in my opinion, a specific boycott, because people need clear direction. And it was easy to do it. Not easy, but it was a little easier to do the bus boycott because it focused on a specific.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would think, and hopefully we can work on it together, we really should be very, very careful at boycotting certain businesses, because we have to make sure that we protect people that have to feed their families and small businesses that may be white, but they hire blacks. They hire people and they help pay taxes in this state. And so I think that, in my opinion, when you think about a boycott, you have to go at what's causing the problem, and that's the government. Government's got to do its part to help eliminate the disparities, you know, disparities in economic opportunity. So the bus boycott targeted the city. So we should be boycotting things that will directly impact the oppressor.
Well, I think as you look at the shutdown on Michigan Avenue, or look at the potential shutdown on State Street, the people who are organizing to do that mass demonstration certainly aren't spending money. That's for sure.
Right.
And they're preventing other people from spending money.
Yep.
So even if it's
down there,
you know,
I went and, you know, I felt that it got it really got the attention. And that's what these boycotts and marches do.
Yes,
it really
absolutely
sent the message. But we can also send the message to do a major boycott on the Illinois lottery, to do a major boycott on whatever the cities depend on the most. You know, that could work, and that will immediately
give rise to better attention? What if everyone said, we're going to withhold our property taxes? I know a lot of people have their property taxes escrowed, but what if we say, let's now not escrow, and we're going to put a hurting on the cities that we that's not treating us right? The cities need that money.
Yeah, that's true.
And of course, they have a mechanism in place where people could buy the taxes after a certain period of time. But here we are. We could change that. We could say that we're going to have to do something where people are not able to buy taxes at scavenger sales, because that's a disinvestment for individuals as well. There's a way that we have to impact the oppressor and not make people suffer that really had nothing to do with it.
Well, I think that's a longer discussion on economics, mm-hmm. economic boycotts. We had a PhD student this past Thursday offer in one of our what we call the I guess I won't rename it. Brother A-Dub is just on and joined me in the studio, so he'll do that. But the discussion was really looking at the pros and cons of boycotts, specifically focused on the Montgomery bus boycott. And as you identified, you really have to have a focused target, which that did represent, to bring justice to your cause. But as we move forward, I know you're out in California. There's some national discussion that's going on around resolutions and letters from elected, certainly black legislators. What was your first day like? Has there been discussion about that yet, or will that take place on
today?
You know,
amazingly not. But, you know, the topic is leading by balance, justice and opportunity. That's what the topic is on here.
Okay.
And so one of the big conferences that sessions was about legalization of marijuana.
Okay.
And that was a big one. That was a big one, that they had legalization of marijuana because we're losing the war on drugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was one, and how it's the economic next.com boom that black people don't want to miss out on, because it's coming and we're going to miss out on that boat. And forget about what they say about the health ramifications. We need to legalize marijuana in this country. That's what they're saying.
So we know that in the next few days, there again, as you said, there's a planned protest that's shut down State Street in relationship to Laquan's murder, and all of these others, I'm sure, is not singularly focused. And so that's coming up. Brother A-Dub, Higher Ground co-host, has just joined me, Brother Deshaun.
All right.
He's in the studio here with me this morning. My better half, Brother Aaron Ammons, is in the studio.
How you doing, brother?
Just wanted to bring him in on the conversation as we let you get yourself ready to get back to the conference. And hopefully, I have sent forth and shared it with our chair of judiciary, Representative L.G. Sims, and Representative Wallace, who are both there, on the criminal justice discussion I hope will take place out there, to call for, again, the investigation of all three offices in Chicago, not just the Chicago police, but the mayor's office as well as the state's attorney's office. So I hope that conversation gets traction, and I did send my 2 cents, since I'm not there, to the conversation. So any last words you want to share before I thank you and let you go on about your conference?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to have time to share my thoughts with your listeners, and I wish you well.
Well,
Merry Christmas to all, and I guess Sunday is Hanukkah, so happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish brothers.
Yes, and we'll be Kwanzaa-ing it in a few weeks, but we appreciate all that you do, and please give our best regards to our colleagues who are out there working and looking for solutions for us here in the state of Illinois. So thank you so much for calling.
All right.
All right.
Have a great day.
Take care, bro. You've been holding it down.
I've been holding it down.
So let me say first and foremost, and apologize to my lovely wife on air and to everybody. Look, I was supposed to provide the code for access to entry into WFT this morning. And I call her and she doesn't answer. And boy, do I throw fits and leave all types of messages and stuff when she don't answer the phone. And then she called me four times this morning so that she could get in here with the code. And I didn't answer the phone. She had to come to where I was at, get the key. And she didn't. She just had one of those looks on her face like, shame on you. But she didn't go off on me. She ain't cuss me out and dog me out, because I would have threw a fit if I was in the same position that she was in this morning. And she taught me a very valuable lesson this morning, that sometimes you can get people to move off their stubborn positions just by looking at them and shaking your head like, see, I would have never done you like that. So I apologize. I hope you will forgive me.
Certainly.
Yes, indeed.
Certainly
yes,
forgiven. You are listening to Higher Ground with Brother A-Dub and Sister Carol in studio. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors,
associates, station manager,
or Prairie Air Incorporated. You've been listening to Representative LaShawn Ford, who's out in California at the Conference of Black Legislators, and they are again taking up some of these big issues, as he talked about as he exited this conversation. The big topic of legalization of marijuana, which that's a whole nother show. We'll come back with that. And I've been sharing with you just a little bit about what's happening in the city of Chicago as you watch the news around the video of the killing of Laquan McDonald. And Representative Ford suggested to us, and I believe it is so as well, that you will see changes across this country as a result of this conspiracy and all of the conspirators not only being revealed, but being held accountable for their actions in the killing of this young man. No one wants to have this kind of incident in relationship to their own children, and certainly do not want to experience the cover-up on the level that this cover-up has taken place. And so we as legislators are going to be introducing our senior members have already worked on it and introducing legislation on a couple of levels to prevent this kind of cover-up from taking place. We did talk about my first meeting dealing with the FOIA law, and I think the FOIA law is part of the problem here, and we'll be working on introducing some changes there and talking to the Attorney General's office about that. So there's much we can do as a community to prevent this kind of cover up from happening in any city, USA. And so I hope that the listeners will join us in our efforts to fight against injustice on every single level that it is present. And so I appreciate those who are listening. If you have just joined us, Brother A-Dub and Sister Carola in studio together. We're not often in the studio together because either I'm gone, you're gone, or you're here all the time. And
well, one of the things that I would say in regards to that, as you talk about Representative Ford and a couple of others who are out in California right now, on the surface, it sounds like, wow, California, that's the place to be when it's so cold in Illinois. And one of the things that I try to stress to individuals now in my short time being a city council member and serving in some of the other capacities that I serve in, sometimes you see pictures of us in different places and it looks glamorous. But I want you to understand that community service and civil service is first a sacrifice. There are some benefits that come along with it, and it's nice to be able to travel some places. But oftentimes you travel those places alone. You don't have your family members with you and stuff like that. So I just want people to understand that there's a balance to this thing and why you should really be appreciative of your, elected officials' sacrifice or even appointed folks. I serve on several committees that I do not get paid for, you know, but it does require traveling and things like that and just hours and meetings and stuff like that. So, when you're thinking about that, I hope that you also consider not just the fact that it's a, you know, when you hear people talking about the legislators ought to be doing this or city council should be doing that. And it's interesting to see that many times you forget that they're people. Right.
We've been guilty.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we were most effective as organizers when we remembered that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, so I wanted to say that. And then to say that, you know, we're in the show in the studio together. And I had apologized already for all of the, you know, me not being here and not opening up. But when I got here a few minutes ago, I remembered the code because I come here all the time. So I didn't need the piece of paper to get in because it's my show.
And you've done an excellent job with your show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. You are listening to WEFT Higher Ground 90.1 FM. We welcome your call, your conversation, 217-359-5483. That's 217-359-53. That line is clear as we've let our representative go. And you could also call us at 217-359-6545. That's 217-359-6545. I did a not so shameless plug earlier in the show, letting you know that you can join me for my reelection kickoff brunch, which will be December 19th, Saturday, December 19th. At the Hawthorne Suites. I'd love for you to go to my website to get more information about that. It's Carol Ammons, for statereps.com. Carol, Carol Ammons, Ammons, for statereps.com. You can go there and get more information about the brunch. The brunch starts early in the morning. We'll be kicking it off around 10:30, and we have some wonderful women coming in from the federal, state, and local level that will be there. Local elected official women, former officials that will come and have a leadership conversation that I think is going to be quite interesting. Our special guest is former U.S. Senator and Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun, who was the first African-American U.S. Senator since Reconstruction, and certainly the first one in Illinois. And she will be in Champaign-Urbana that Saturday morning, along with Senator Toy Hutchison, who's a state senator. We expect our Karen Yarbrough, who is also the city clerk of Chicago. We just have a impressive line of elected women. Our former state representative is supposed to be with us, Naomi Jacobson, as well as our mayors in both cities. So we've pulled together all of these extremely intelligent, strong women who will come and talk about their experience as elected officials and why they're even in public service. And we want you to join us for this kickoff. No worries about when you go to my website, there is a cost for this to help my campaign, but don't worry about that. Just send an email to us and whatever you can contribute would be welcomed. So please go to my website, Carol Ammons for statereps.com. Thank you.
Elliott Counseling Group has 30 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including state employee insurance, is accepted. There is also a self-pay sliding scale. You can contact Kevin Elliott or his staff at ElliottCounselingGroup.com. That is ELLIOTT CounselingGroup.com or call 217-398-9066. Again, that's 217-398-9066, Kevin Elliott Counseling.
So we appreciate Kevin Elliott Counseling, and thank you for sponsoring this show on WEFT. I wanted to bring Brother A-Dub and just get Brother A-Dub's thoughts for a minute about our previous hour's topic. Really, how do we stop state-sanctioned murder in our communities so that we can focus on community violence, domestic violence, and other issues of violence in our community? How do we stop what's happening on the state level, meaning state sanctioned violence, so we can focus our resources on community violence?
Well, I think that's a pretty dynamic question. And I think the people who created the darkness that created the state-sanctioned violence will be the best to answer that question. And I didn't contribute to that, so I don't know if I know the answer to that. I think that there's a response that a community should have to state-sanctioned murder or violence against the people that is a organized and unified front that says that we won't tolerate that type of abuse, malfeasance, and we demand that there is accountability, transparency, and when I think about accountability, I mean that if we have a justice system that says that there are penal institutions and stuff that say that there is an actual sentence and there's incarceration that goes with violating the law, then those individuals, be it police officers, state representatives, mayors, state's attorneys or whatever, that when they are found breaking the law, that they are punished and to the degree that the average citizen is, if not more, because of the extra responsibility or authority that they have been given, that has been invested in them. And so when I think about as a policymaker now, I think about how do you put into policy clear measures and clear procedural measures that say this is what happens from A to Z. If and when a police officer, for instance, kills a citizen, then that act, when it's video, especially if it's videotaped or whatever, all the evidence associated with that, the public should know, the city councils should know, the mayors should know exactly what's supposed to happen as soon as that takes place. Where does the video go? Who oversees the report writing? What happens to that information, in particular in the Laquan McDonald situation? What happens to that video from the moment that it captured his death until it's used in the trial or to it's revealed to the public? Who handles it? Who gets to make the decision on whether or not it's held back? You know, so then we know exactly where the breakdown is in that process. So that's something that I'm thinking about now, and I'm hoping to bring forth as a way for us in Urbana to be able to say, listen, if and when this was to take place, here is the proper procedural and steps that should be taken. And for us here in this community, we know all too well with the death of Kiwan Carrington that there's always gaps from the standpoint of the public. We don't understand what happens. We don't know the process. Well, as a city council member now, I realize that some of the city council members don't even know what they're mm-hmm. supposed to do, or they don't even know the process.
That certainly happened in this case, right?
Absolutely. So when Kiwan Carrington was killed, one of the basic things that everyone thought should happen is that both officers who were in the backyard should have had their hands swabbed for the residue of gun residue. I mean, just a very basic thing that created tons of turmoil and still cast a shadow of doubt on what happened in that backyard because it never happened. So, you know, it's little bitty things like that that I think make a big difference for the public, and when you're building community relations, to make sure that there's a process that is transparent and that is very clearly understood as to what should happen.
I think as the this case really reveals that, you know, I think I was watching the news a couple of days ago, and there was a segment on the what they call the Burger King video. Mm-hmm. So there's a segment on the officers, three of them, going into this Burger King near where this incident's taking place and erasing the video from the Burger King surveillance camera. And they had another camera in the office where they were erasing the video of the Laquan McDonald murder and catches the officers erasing the video. You know, if that is not the most egregious conduct, to erase the video and you get caught on video erasing the video, you know, this whole case is really I hope it will be studied.
Well, this is why we cannot Although we understand that individuals do particular acts, right? There are systemic concerns, and the culture of a particular department or of a city even facilitate that behavior, right? They create the context for a person to feel like they can operate like that without and do it with impunity. Mm-hmm. And so when you see the officer in there working on this video, doing whatever he's doing to the video, is it Officer Van Dyke?
No, it's not.
It's another. This is my point. So we always say, well, that was just one bad apple.
That's right.
No, there's an infected group around
that. This debunks that whole bad apple thing, doesn't it?
Right. This is an infected group that's all the way around that, or a culture that they have operated under that has allowed this to take place for a long time.
We are here on Higher Ground 90.1 FM. We welcome your comments, your call, your questions about this or any other topic that you're interested in, what you've seen, by calling us at 217-359-5483. That's 217-359-5483. We'll also take you on the second line if that one is not available at 217-359-6545. That's 217-359-6545. You can give me a call on what you've seen in this. How has this murder, the revelation of it, made you feel? What do you think about this and how we should be stopping it? Feel free to give us a call on that. We have a couple other things going on, don't we? That we should probably be announcing. Certainly people are coming up on.
Well, one of the things that Will Kyle just mentioned to me is to remind everyone that on December 12th, they're working on bringing back the Black Expos. And so on December 12th, next Saturday, there'll be a Black Expo at the Urbana Civic Center. And it's highlighting some of the different businesses and things like that. And he pointed out in particular that, you know, we always hear about, you know, the restaurants, the fish and chicken joints in the Black community, or the barbershops and beauty salons, funeral homes and those things of that nature. But you also have everything from, you know, individuals who are doing life insurance to dog training. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's lots of different ways that as you talked about economic boycotts and the importance of the socioeconomic conversation, and when you're talking about social justice, right? Mm-hmm. When you have to talk about economic opportunities and a more level playing field for people of color or poor people in a capitalist society. Otherwise, you are that population that's deemed unnecessary, useless, and can be killed with impunity like this. It takes a video. A whole slew of obvious cold-blooded murders in order for to drum up enough public support to actually prosecute a handful of officers, right? That's because you have been placed in the bottom rung of society mentally and socially by the rest of the society, by the majority of the society and the systems, that the institutions. And so we definitely want to find ways for, especially in the African American community, to spend those dollars that do come into our community to find those Black businesses and small businesses that we can support, so that we can create more opportunities, help them grow, which creates more opportunities for the young people who are somewhat hopeless or who have taken to a different lifestyle to try to make ends meet.
Well, we have a lot of work that we need to do in our communities, and hopefully those who are listening will support that event on October 12th. Did he say what time it starts?
No, that would be December.
I mean, December 12th. 12th. Did I say October?
Yes, it starts from 6 to 10 at the Urbana Civic Center from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Oh, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yes. Okay, and that's a Saturday, is it?
Yes.
That is a Saturday.
Saturday, December 12th.
I missed the Saturday part. Don't be getting off.
I'm just repeating it, because if you didn't hear it, then maybe other people didn't hear
it. Yeah, repeat it one more time.
Saturday at the Urbana Civic Center, the Black Expo from 6 to 10 p.m. That is Saturday, December 12th, the Urbana Civic Center from 6 to 10 p.m., the Black Expo.
Be there. We are listening. I mean, we are not listening. We're on Higher Ground, and I hope you are listening.
Did you have something in your coffee or something? You all right?
It was probably too strong, and it got me a little I had some too strong coffee this morning. I was sitting out in front. I don't even want to go back there. I was sitting out in front of the studio. I'm just saying. Anyway, we
because you ain't know the code because you ain't been down here.
Didn't know how to get in. But anyway, we are certainly happy that you are listening this morning.
The other thing that's going on Monday night, and I want to make sure that I get this message across to folks that they should come out to the Urbana City Council, because there will also there's also a report that's going to be discussed about the IDOT traffic stop study and what this task force discovered, what their recommendations are. As and basically, for those of you listening, the buzzword is racial profiling, right? This was a discussion and a task force that went on for over a year, working on this information and the traffic stop information in the city of Urbana and the disparities that it showed in relationship to African-American drivers. And there's some very interesting components in there that sort of overlap with some new ideas that the police community seems to be putting forth now or will be presenting to the community soon called Don't Shoot. And there's a lot of discussion going on around that. A lot of people who have been talking about whether or not it's an idea they can support or not. And just left the Breakfast Club and we had a long discussion about it. So the point, though, is that you should come by 7 p.m. Monday to the Urbana City Council meeting and partake in this discussion. Listen to the information that's being shared. I know that in the black community, we've talked a lot about being profiled and being caught up in some broad net form of policing that scooped up people. And then, you know, it's not just being stopped and being inconvenienced for a short period of time. You know, there are tickets involved with that, which has a very significant financial impact on people who, I mean, $120 ticket or $190 ticket. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's significant. That's a bill or two that you can pay in a month if you live in check to check. And so, you know, this is very, very important information. And this is an opportunity for the public to have some input on how we would proceed and how we will continue our traffic stop enforcement in the city of Urbana. So I want to encourage you all to come out and participate in that Monday night, 7 p.m. Urbana City Council.
I think we'll also we had planned to have Representative L.G. Sims, who is the chair of judiciary at the state level, visit our community this month. But we've had to reschedule his visit, and that was changed to January the 7th. We'll be having a criminal justice reform discussion at the Independent Media Center January 7th, for which Representative Sims and U.S. Attorney John Lewis will be here to interact and discuss with our community ways that we can improve.
Jim Lewis.
Yes, Jim. What did I say, John? Oh, that's right, John. I would love to have John Lewis here. But
I thought you
that's
might
right.
confuse people with that.
Jim Lewis, who is our U.S. attorney for our district U.S. attorney, will be in our community the same day. So he's going to be on that panel talking about criminal justice reform on January 7th. And we'll make sure that we continue to announce that up until the date. And certainly you can go to my website again, StateRepCarolAmmons.com.
We have a request from folks to see if you can talk a little bit about the event last night at the IMC, the phone justice.
Oh, absolutely. You got that by text. That's technology. It's wonderful.
That's technology working.
Yeah. I was like, dang, they didn't call me. We did have a celebration at the IMC last night to walk through the victory that is a massive victory, actually. For prison phone justice. People know the campaign by the name Prison Phone Justice. But the short of it is that the telecom companies that provide phone service to prisons and jails throughout this country for decades have been exploiting those family members who have to pay for the prison phone call. And through that exploitation, the 15-minute phone call that really should only cost us a dollar and some change was costing them 15 $20, $30, $45 in some communities just to have this 15-minute phone call. It was just exorbitant. They could set their own rates and just literally basically steal money from families just to be able to talk to a person who may be in the county jail or who may be in a prison throughout the country. So the FCC picked up and finally ruled on what's called a right petition. And that petition was to request that the Federal Communications Commission cap the rate. The campaign asked for a lower rate, but they ended up with 11 cents per minute rate, which is substantially lower. To cap the rate of the cost of a phone call from a jail or prison. And that is a huge victory that was led. Our local organization was the Independent Media Center, but the national organization was the Center for Media Justice, and the initiating organization was the Human Rights Defense. Is it Human Rights Defense Committee? I think it is, something like that. But this has been a ongoing 23-plus year battle to get that victory. And this year, October 23rd, the Federal Communications Commission under Commissioner Mingyong Clyburn, Mingyong Clyburn is her name, African-American woman who is who's the chair of the commission. They finally made the ruling that they would cap these costs to 11 cents a minute, which is a major victory, certainly celebrating in this community because we had a major part to play in that victory. The folks here, including Brian Doliner, James Kilgore, Martell Miller, was working on the initial campaign with Danielle Chenoweth, who is the lead on that campaign and the executive director for the Center for Media Justice, just really kicked butt on this campaign and brought a victory to all the people in this country. That will last certainly longer than
which I think is extremely important for the average everyday person who's out here just going along with their life to understand that this your involvement in activism and organizing is extremely important, and your ideas are important. And I say that because this started with a campaign against the kickbacks that the county board was receiving from our own local jail, county jail. And so not only were they charging an exorbitant rate, but they were actually getting a kickback and a benefit into the, I guess, general fund or whatever. Yes. After.
Sure.
Right. So, you know, we, Sandra Otten, and some other folks from CUCPJ worked on this, and we had an entire campaign around it. Mm-hmm. Yourself, myself, a whole bunch of folks looked into this and started to work on it on a regular ongoing basis. And lo and behold, now little Urbana and Champaign County was being talked about on a national scale, leading the way to make these, to show you how you can make the adjustments or how you can fight back against these phone companies. And of course, and there Danielle is as the executive director, sort of spearheading the charge in that. So you're talking about people right here from your own community who were just concerned, and that mm-hmm. concern led to a deeper understanding and a passion that turned into a very important form of public policy that's going to affect the entire nation. That's how powerful each and every one of you are.
I think something that Representative Ford said when I asked him how the video came into play, he said an average citizen asked for the video through the FOIA law, which kicked this whole thing off. And that average citizen says, I have a right to this video mm-hmm. and requested this video. And in the same case, Sandra Otten, who came to that small band of people in 2004, said, there is a problem here. Because it's costing a lot for me and other people just to communicate with our family members who may have been locked up for one reason or another. And I found out that the county was receiving money back on this phone service. And just that awareness, as I highlighted her contribution last night in my comments in the celebration, if she hadn't done that, we would not even know that this was even an issue. Because remember, there were board members who didn't know that the kickback was even taking place.
You know, right? And let's harp on this for a minute, because you're talking about how to create change in your society, right? In your community or your society. In essence, that's what we always wanted to do. And you can join this conversation at 217-359-5483, 217-359-5483, or 217-359-6545, 359-6545. And we've got about 10 minutes left, so we'd always want to hear from the people. So I was at one of my union meeting last night discussing upcoming negotiations, and I learned even more about the history of the unions and where these particular 40-hour work weeks, 8-hour work days, overtime, and things like that come from, right? And they are simply people fed up or looking at things from a different perspective, putting forth their idea, somebody seconding that motion, and then you go organize people around it, and lo and behold, 2, 3, 5, 10 years later, it becomes public policy for the whole nation. Now almost the entire continent, I mean the whole world, is actually operating under many of these laws, right? But certainly in the United States, the child labor laws that came in, the minimum wage, all those things that came in, they come from an idea of a person who presents it to someone else. They organize around it, and then you bring forth a just outcome. And
you have to fight for it.
You do. Well, I said that's why the organizing is fighting, right? But one of the things that really stood out to me in that conversation is that, you see, there was a time when you could take a case to an arbitrator, right, about smoking. Like if an employer said, hey, I don't want the employees smoking in the building, right? There were times when the employer would lose that case, where the arbitrator would say, hey, that ain't none of your business. That's their personal business that they smoking in your building. Right. Because the dominant narrative, the society accepted smoking to that degree. Now it doesn't. So now you can take that same case to the arbitrator and the employer will win. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Because the people dictate the agenda. The state, the people set the standard for the laws and for the policies that govern us. So when you run across a good idea, you do a disservice to the rest of the people if you keep it to yourself. If you just sit there and complain over the card table playing bid whist and you don't go organize nobody around it, or you just particularly raise a particular concern and don't go do and present it to anybody for some actual organizing, you don't know what that idea could possibly be depriving us of.
That's right. That's right. We have
you shocked to see her in here.
You do have the ability to make changes. You can make changes in the way that you are governed, which is your responsibility anyway. You can't just elect people and then just say, go on about your business and do what you want to do. You really do have to help them, as was said earlier, help them to govern for the best interest of the people. And you got to sometimes force them. You got to organize. You got to demonstrate. Sometimes you got to replace them. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on what the need is, but it is still the responsibility of the citizen to make that happen. And that is what I see happening in the city of Chicago right now. It's happening all around the country, that people who are governed, it says by the consent of the governed, right? Mm-hmm. They are saying you don't represent our interests and we have to get rid of you. And that's just how it works. So we hope that you are listening, saying that, you know, as with this FCC ruling, which is I don't know anybody who doesn't have someone in their family who's has been impacted by this or is currently impacted by this. But the ruling that the FCC really changes the ability of people to communicate, attorneys to communicate with their clients, family members to talk to the attorney on behalf of their loved one. All of this is impacted by this ruling. Now, it is not hard yet. Why? Because we know the 1% is going to take it to court. They're going to take the federal communications ruling to court and say, that's not fair. We should be able to gouge people. And you should overturn this ruling from the FCC.
It's called capitalism.
So they're going to do that. And we as the, what are we? the citizens, the residents, the governed, the whoever you are, the people. We have to back up the ruling that came from Commissioner Clyburn and the FCC commissioners and support them and continue to fight until this is actually the law of the land. That is what we need to do. And don't allow big business, big money, the telecom industry to prevent this from going into effect. And it's going to cut their profits. That's the whole point. That is the point.
Does it not go into effect immediately?
It is not. It doesn't go into effect immediately. It goes in January, in 90 days from the filing of the registry. The federal registry is supposed to go into effect, but you know they're going to file a lawsuit before then.
Unless they can find a judge that will give an injunction on it.
So exactly.
We're depriving them of their
Their profits.
Yeah.
And so that is part of what's taking place now. But it should be, this was October, right? They have 90 days before this will go into effect, and hopefully it will. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jim in Urbana again.
Oh, hi, Jim.
Since Governor Rauner has also rejected any Syrian refugees from being in the state of Illinois, I think we could get a motion passed, at least in Urbana, to make it welcoming to Syria refugees.
You okay, said, thank you so much, Jim. So he said to get a motion passed in the city of Urbana to welcome
resolution
Syrian,
or something like that.
Refugees. That's interesting. Someone who's calling inside the studio, we encourage you to call the live number at 217-359-5483. Please call the live number at 217-359-5483. We'll be happy to take your call, but we won't take your call in the office part. Thank you. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Michaela Lennon. I'm a student at the School of Social Work at the University of Illinois.
Yes, yes.
And I just wanted to tell you thank you, because these conversations that you're having are a constant reminder of how students like myself and community members can continue to be involved in politics. I think there's a dissonance between people and their politicians, and what you're saying about you don't just elect somebody and then let them do work. You have to be there to help guide them. I'm just appreciative that you brought so many great points up today.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for calling and sharing. We really appreciate it.
Well,
and stay at work.
And we will keep working if you will keep working with us. We are certainly committed to, I am, I know, and I think I can say we are committed to working with all of the people in our communities, whether you are a resident or non-resident, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what your status is, we are willing to work with our communities, because it is so much going on that many don't have voice. And so we're willing to work with those communities to bring voice to their issues. And feel free to call, reach out to me. You can certainly find Carol Ammons. You can just type me in. You can find Aaron Ammons easily. We are certainly in this fight for the long haul. We are a committed couple who are in the fight for a long haul, and we are happy to be in that fight with you.
Absolutely, we are. The student who called in, I really appreciate. I'm always very, very appreciative of the younger students who get involved. Now, that's not to knock Dr. Underwood, Bishop, and Reverend Dr. Underwood, because I'm excited by everyone who's involved. But of course, the younger people who don't typically have the experience and the years of experience says that some of us who are a little bit older have, and I'd like to be able to share those with the younger students and stuff like that. But of course, the natural flow of life is that as we get older, we pass on, and so we have to pass the baton to those who are coming up behind us. And the students have always played significant roles in historical movements and even in the local movements that we have worked on in the different, I wouldn't say local movements, but the local projects or campaigns that we have worked on. So I'm very, very inspired by the phone call, and thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in.
Well, we've had a wonderful time this morning. We only have a couple minutes left, and I just wanted to send a shout out. Young people are really critical to movement building. And so, you know, there was a young lady who went on the delegation from here to Washington, D.C. to testify before the Federal Communications Commission. And she said she had never done anything like that before and didn't think that she can make any difference or impact. She's 19 years old now. And she said the thing she left D.C. with was the knowledge that she could make a difference. And that was most empowering to her. And I know that she will, whatever her career path is in the future, she will make a difference for other people. So thank you so much for listening. I'm going to turn it over to the actual host of this, his show. This,
my
his show.
My show. So I also wanted to send my condolences out to the Frazier family. I talked to Jazz last night. Of course, I grew up with Richard, with Booney, and Miss Frazier, all of you out there who are dealing with the passing of our sister Toya, and so to Tawanda, and to everybody, we send our condolences, and we're going to be looking into this to see, you know, exactly what happened to our sister, and I just wanted to say that to everybody, and to make sure that we are reaching out to them and offering our support for them. I believe the services will be Wednesday at Mount Olive Baptist Church. And so thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being who you are and bringing what you do to the table. As John Lee Johnson would say, stay out of trouble. But as Paul Muse says,